Great. Well, good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are. My name is Scott Guthrie, and I'm going to spend the next hour walking you through and talking a little bit about something that I've been working on a lot the last year, which is something called Windows Azure. And people don't know, about a year ago, I kind of started getting involved in Windows Azure. I still run ASP.NET and a lot of the core .NET framework server-side pieces. So I'm still very much involved in ASP.NET. But I've also been spending a lot of time with Windows Azure, which is our next generation cloud platform, for a couple of big reasons. One is you're going to see cloud and kind of cloud computing really take off over the next couple of years. It's a really big phenomenon for the overall IT industry. And also, it's going to be a really big phenomenon for ASP.NET developers and for .NET developers in general. Really with the cloud and with Windows Azure specifically, you're going to be able to start to build applications that are better than ever, start to do more scenarios than you can do today, and really provide kind of an economic model that allows you to use .NET and ASP.NET to reach an even broader audience in a really, really cost-effective way. And so I'm pretty excited to be able to walk you through today how you as ASP.NET developers can start using Windows Azure immediately and some of the great benefits that it provides. We launched Windows Azure for the first time about 2 years ago. And in that time, we've done a number of kind of updates and enhancements of the service. Last month, we did our most significant release of Windows Azure, though, yet. And that release really elevates Azure to a new level in terms of capabilities. It makes it much more flexible and opens it up to many more scenarios that you can go ahead and take advantage of. And it enables you to kind of do a lot more. And that's kind of, again, the release you're going to see a lot more of over the next hour. One of the things that we've pioneered with Windows Azure since the beginning is this concept of what we call platform as a service, which is a mode of cloud computing that enables you to leverage managed scalable services that we provide within your applications and allows you to easily use and consume them. And with this most recent release we did of Windows Azure, we made our platform as a service offering even richer and provided a bunch of new capabilities, which I'll walk through a little bit later. We've also, with this most recent release, enabled what we call infrastructure as a service as part of Windows Azure. And specifically, that includes the ability to run and host durable virtual machines, run either Windows or Linux in our cloud. And you know, some people might be surprised to hear the word Linux. You know, Linux is just sort of one example of how we're trying to really embrace openness in a deeper way with Windows Azure. And we now allow to use more operating systems, more databases, even more languages than ever before. All of our protocols are open, and so you'll see me talk a little bit later on about things like caching and things like service bus, and we're built on top of open protocols that you can tie into. And we've also released the Windows Azure SDK under an open source license and hosting it on GitHub. And so it really provides a nice platform that allows you to really use the best of the Microsoft ecosystem, the best of the open source ecosystem, and allows you to use platform as a service and infrastructure as a service together. And the end result, hopefully, is pretty powerful. Windows Azure is deployed around the world. And so we have data center regions spread out across the globe. What this means is that when you build applications for Windows Azure, you can basically choose to run them in whatever data center is closest to the customers that you want to reach. And it really allows you to kind of have this global footprint, global scale, and really maximize your experience. Our Windows Azure services are also backed by a monthly what's called Service License Agreement, or SLA. And this is basically a guarantee of uptime and availability and quality of those services. If at any point we violate the SLA, you get to ask for money back. So there's an enforcement mechanism in there built in as part of that. Big benefit is it gives you the assurance that you can deliver solutions to your customers and know that they're going to work and work well. And the other thing that's nice about Windows Azure is that, and it's a little different than how you're probably used to thinking about packaged software, is that it's enabled under what we call a pay-only-for-what-you-use model. And this is pretty nice. Basically, what it means is you only have to pay for what you use and when you actually use it. There's no upfront costs. There's no fixed monthly overheads that you need to pay. Instead, you can pay even on an hourly basis for things like compute. And for things like storage and databases, you literally only pay for the data that you're actually storing with us. This allows you to start off really inexpensively. You basically start for free and then scale up as your business and application grows. It also gives you a lot of flexibility where when you need a lot of capacity for a short period of time, you can spin up resources, and then when you don't need them as much, spin them down, and you're only paying, again, for the hours that you're actually running a lot of resources on the system. So for example, the ASP.conf website that you're probably hit to watch this talk is running on Windows Azure, and for the event, they spun up some extra virtual machines and instances to support the website. Once the traffic dries off after the event's over, they can basically turn down the resources, and they only had to pay for a day or two of extra resources as part of that. So again, it makes it much more cost effective and allows you to easily get started. If you're an MSDN customer, one of the things you might not know is that your MSDN subscription comes with free Azure resources. And so every MSDN subscription, whether you're a professional, ultimate, or premium user, includes built-in Azure hours as well as built-in Azure storage. And so you can actually probably find that if you're an MSDN user, you sign up to Azure using your MSDN Live ID, you'll be able to actually get free hosting resources that you can use to host your ASP.NET applications at absolutely no cost. And that's just included, again, as part of your MSDN subscription. So enough slides. Let's actually dive into the Windows Azure experience and walk through what you can do with it. So what I'm going to do here is just to begin with is visit the WindowsAzure.com website. And so you can just type azure.com in order to go there, or windowsazure.com. And our website basically provides a bunch of information around the features that we offer. And so you can learn more about the individual features and capabilities and scenarios that we support. You can click on the Develop tab in order to drill into our SDK and Development Center. And as part of this, we have a nice dev center for each language and framework that we support. We support one-click installers for both VS 2010 and the new VS 2012 release, so that you can install the Azure SDKs. And we have a bunch of great tutorials and samples that you can go ahead and check out on the website, which provide kind of nice step-by-step instructions on, for example, in this case here, how to build a data-driven ASP.NET site against SQL Server. And so later on, if you want to, you can easily follow up on any of the services I'm going to show and find a really nice sample or tutorial that shows you how to use it. We also, as part of this site, have a pricing tab that you can use in order to figure out how much building an application and running it on Azure will cost. And so you can drill on to different scenarios to see the exact cost. So for example, if I wanted to run a website, which I'll show a little bit later on, you'll find that we actually include for everyone, not just MSDN users, but for every Azure user, up to 10 free websites that you can use to host ASP.NET at no cost. We also, if you want to run a virtual machine with Windows Server, let's say I want to run one virtual machine throughout the month, it's going to cost me about $9.36, or approximately 1.3 cents per hour. And so if I run it for the entire month, it's going to be $9. If I spin up 10 of them for an hour, it's going to be only 13 cents. Then I can turn it off and shut them down. So it's, again, pretty cost effective and really easy to figure out what things are going to cost. And then when you want to, just click the free trial button, and you can use this to sign up for a 90-day free trial, where you can use all the Azure services at no cost or no obligation. You'll never be billed as part of it. We have what's called a spending limit, so if you ever use more resources than what's included in your free trial, we'll automatically notify you and turn off the resources so you're never billed. And at the end of the 90 days, if you don't want to use Azure, there's no obligation. You can just walk away. Now, what I have here, though, is I've already signed up for an Azure account. And so I'm going to click this portal link in the top right of the website and drill into the new Windows Azure portal. This is a new HTML-based portal that we launched last month that provides anyone with an easy way to see all of the resources that their Azure account is currently using. And you can use it to basically manage the entire system. So whether it's websites, we don't have any, but we're going to create some soon, virtual machines, databases, storage accounts, etc. I can then click in and drill into any of the resources that I want to manage. So for example, here I'm going to drill into a virtual machine that's running under my subscription. You can see we provide built-in diagnostics, so you can see how your virtual machine is performing, how many cores you're using, how many disks are attached, etc. And you're going to see throughout this experience that the admin tool makes it really easy to manage your resources. And it also does it in a very consistent way. So once you learn how to manage a VM or once you learn how to manage a website, the skills easily translate as you kind of work with other resources. And one thing that's nice to mention about the admin tool is it's actually built entirely using ASP.NET. So on the back end, it's an ASP.NET MVC as well as an ASP.NET Web API application. And we're using jQuery and things like Knockout and JS Views on the client side in order to actually implement it. And the other nice thing about the admin tool is everything that we use to manage the system goes through a common set of REST management APIs. And so if you don't want to use the admin tool and instead you want to write either a C# script to manage your system or a set of PowerShell or Bash scripts in order to manage the system, you can do that. And they all kind of go through this common REST API. And everything you can do in the admin tool, you can actually automate or script out yourself. So let's just build our first resource here with Windows Azure. And let's create a new thing. And so I'm just going to click that new button that's in the top bottom left. I can create a new website. We'll do that a little bit later. I can create a new virtual machine, cloud service, database. Again, you'll notice that it's kind of consistent throughout how you build things. We're, again, trying to use the same metaphors for different types of resources. In this case here, I'm just going to call it the ASP.conf Demo 1 website, VM I'm going to create. I'm going to use the new Windows Server 2012 server. I'm going to give it a password. Pick the size machine I want to run, as well as the data center around the world I want to run it in. And I'm going to hit Create. And what this has gone ahead and done is kicked off a new virtual machine on Windows Azure. And so this is going to go ahead and deploy for me my own virtual machine named, I think I named it ASP.conf Demo 1. And so I'll be able to connect to it with remote desktop a little bit later on. I'll be a full admin on that machine, and I can install anything I want on there. So I could install IIS and run an ASP.NET site. I can install a middle tier and run any other type of .NET code I want within it. I'm a full admin on that machine. I can do whatever I want with it. It's going to take just a few minutes to provision for the very first time. So instead, let's just drill into this other virtual machine that I created earlier, which is the ScottGoo Win12. Again, you'll notice on any of the virtual machines that you connect to, you can see full diagnostic information. So you can see disk I/O, network, CPU utilization. I can see the number of disks that I've attached. So you can have multiple data drives attached to your virtual machine. I can just click this attach button and say attach empty disk if I want to create and attach another drive to this virtual machine that I can use for persistent storage. And if I want to connect to the machine, all I can do is click this connect button, hit open, and this will then bring up a remote desktop client and allow me to log in. And so I'm going to go ahead and connect here. Oop, if I can remember my password, this is the hardest part of the keynote. Good, I remembered it. Basically, this is going to allow me to connect from my developer machine into a server running in a virtual machine on Windows Azure. And you'll see here in just a few seconds, I am logged onto the machine. And so this is a machine that I control. I'm the administrator on that machine. I can install anything I want on it. So I could install SQL, I could install SharePoint, I could install BizTalk or any other Microsoft product. I could also install any open source or third party product. So I can install RavenDB server if I wanted to for NoSQL, or I can install Mongo Redis or any other type of open source database that I want to take advantage of. You'll notice here that in the portal, I had two disks that I attached to the machine. And so I have this data disk here attached. When I drill back into the VM, you can see within each virtual machine, we always have a C drive, which is your OS partition. We also have a D drive, which is just a temporary disk that we use for the page file for virtual memory. And then any of the data drives that you attach will just show up as regular disks to the operating system image. And so here is my data drive F that I attached through the portal. I could copy any data I want within it, and again, it will persist across reboots on this machine, and so I can save anything I want within it. And again, I'm a full admin on this box, so I can install and pretty much do anything I want within this virtual machine. Each virtual machine in Azure, we provide a public IP address, and so I could map. This has a DNS server entry with, by default, a cloudapp.net domain. I could take this IP address, though, and I could map any DNS entry on the internet to it, and whether it's a CNAME or an ANAME record, and basically start pointing traffic to this. So it makes it really easy, again, to create VMs, stick any workload you want within them, and do it pretty much anything you want as part of it. You can open up any firewall ports you want as part of the VM. So by default, we do provide you with a secure firewall You can go ahead and open up what are called endpoints. So I could say, let me open up HTTP on port 80 in order to make this server perform as a web server. So I can map any type of ports I want. I can also at a later point change the size of the machine so that I can go ahead and increase the CPU or memory capacity or downgrade it. Other nice feature that we have built into our virtual machine capability is something we call availability sets. And what this allows me to do is if I want to create multiple machines, I can create what's called an availability set. So for example, I might name it, say, front-end web servers or just web servers. And if I map multiple virtual machines into the web server availability set, Azure will make sure that we deploy those machines on separate physical machines, on separate racks with separate power supplies and separate network routers. And the benefit there is if at any point a machine has a hardware or software failure, we can automatically fail over to one of the other machines, and you don't have to worry about a single power supply issue causing an outage for your overall application. So it makes it really easy to add robustness and reliability directly into the overall system. So that's a simple example of how we've can go ahead and create a Windows machine. Other cool thing is, if I want to, I can create machines from other operating systems as well. And instead of using the Quick Create, I can just hit this From Gallery Image option, and I could select, for example, Ubuntu. And if I wanted to, I could say ASP.conf Linux. I can optionally upload an SSH key in order to manage it. Again, pick the same sizes like I did before. Choose where I want to deploy it. Add an availability set, so I could use the availability set feature with Linux as well. Just click OK. And this is now going to go ahead and provision for me an Ubuntu-based virtual machine. I could also choose CentOS or SUSE we have built into the gallery. Or if I don't want to use one of those OS images, I can also just upload my own image into the cloud and boot off of that as well. So you can basically use any operating system, integrate anything within the system. And then just like that Windows machine, if I click on an Ubuntu image or any other operating system, I'll get the same kind of diagnostic experience that we saw with Windows. And then I can see the health in terms of CPU, memory, disk I/O utilization on the VM. I can also, again, attach disks just like before and have them also show up as mount points within my OS image. Again, the beauty here is I can use best of Windows, the best of open source. I can integrate them together, and I can pretty much run any workload I want with it. Now, the last thing I want to show is kind of this first set of demos that I think is worth kind of highlighting. And it's a question people often ask, which is, okay, it's great that I can store and create these virtual machines in the cloud. That's going to be really good for my public-facing website or any kind of customer-facing application that I want people to be able to connect to. But what if I want to use this in an intranet environment or, say, a more corporate line of business environment where I might want to connect to resources that are available within my corporate enterprise network? How can I go ahead and integrate that? One of the nice things that we have with Windows Azure is support for what we call virtual private networking. And what that means is that you can go ahead and set up a secure network that bridges your on-premise corporate environment with servers that are hosted inside Azure in the cloud. And it's a secure channel, so basically only your traffic goes over it. It also is designed so that you can create and configure your own IP address and subnet ranges so that any servers that you host inside Azure look like they're just down the hall from the rest of the servers within your enterprise environment. And so from a network operations perspective, it looks very consistent and very similar. And best of all, it's really easy to set up. So for example, if I want to set up a network, I can just go ahead and say new network. We could say this is the ASP.conf network. And I'm not going to make you watch me type IP address and subnet ranges, but if I did configure these on here, I could pick any IP address range or any subnet range I want to use for Azure. And again, once I do that, every resource that I create and deploy in Azure will use that same IP address range that I configured. And we completely virtualize it so that if another customer happens to use the same IP address range, we make sure that the machines don't conflict. Only you can see your machines, only they can see their machines. Now, rather than watch me type these IP address ranges from scratch, let me just show you a network that I configured earlier. This is sort of a simple AppVNet network that I created. I set up a couple of subnet ranges as part of this. I'm pointing back to a virtual private network hardware device that I'm going to install on my corporate network on-premise. And then there's a DNS server I want to connect to that's behind the firewall running within that corporate environment. And what's nice is all I need to do is just use the admin tool inside Azure to kind of define this network range. And then last but not least, I can just click this download button in order to download a script that'll allow me to wire up this virtual private network that I configured in the cloud to any existing virtual private network infrastructure that I already have deployed within my enterprise. So for example, let's say I have a Cisco router or let's say a Juniper router. I can pick which router series or which router hardware I'm using, which operating system I'm using within that VPN hardware device, and then just click OK. And Azure will automatically generate for me a script that I can download and run against, you know, any of my VPN hardware devices that I already have deployed on my network. And once I run it, in about 30 seconds later, I now have a virtual private network connecting my on-premise environment to any of these servers and services that I deploy within Azure. So it makes it really easy for you to integrate across public cloud as well as a private cloud or enterprise environment and give you a very secure way that you can start to interconnect these different types of systems. Literally in a matter of minutes, you can start to bridge and burst to the cloud and start using some of the resources that are provided as part of it. So that's a little bit about virtual machines. Let me talk about some of the things that are happening behind the covers of virtual machines that are also pretty cool that you can take advantage of. As I mentioned, just to kind of recap, you can run both Windows Server and Linux. You can run pretty much any workload you want within these virtual machines. And as you saw earlier, you can connect them. You can either run them in isolation in the cloud, or you can connect them to your on-premise corporate network. A couple of things that's kind of cool about the way we handle virtual machines now within Azure is that we enable something that we call virtual machine portability. And what this means is when you create a virtual machine and you run it in Azure, it's using a file format, which is a VHD-based file format, which is the same one that we use with Hyper-V on Windows Server as well as the new Windows 8 client. And the big benefit with that is it means that you can create a VM anywhere and you can move it anywhere across different cloud or on-premise environments. So for example, if you have an existing workload that you virtualized that's running on a server or even on a desktop computer in your on-premise environment, you can basically just upload it into Windows Azure, just literally take the VHD, copy it into the cloud, and then use our admin tool and you can boot it up. There's no import or export process required. Just copy the VHD over, boot it up, and it works. And this is true not only for VHDs that have OS images on it, it's also true for data drives. So if you actually virtualize your data drive as a VHD, you can also copy data back and forth really easily between the environments as well. Likewise, I could take any of those VHDs that we just created, so either that Windows or Linux VM that we just initialized inside Azure, and I could download it and boot it up on-premise on top of any Windows server or even on a Windows 8 client as well. Again, no import or export required. You just download it, boot it up, and you're good to go. You could also work with another service provider that runs Windows and basically take any of the VHDs you create inside Windows Azure or any of the ones that you create on-premise, and you could basically move to run them in their environment as well. And this ability to basically create VMs, run them anywhere, gives you a lot of flexibility and basically make sure you have no lock-in and you can basically adapt where you host your workload to meet whatever your business requirement is. A couple other cool things about the virtual machine approach that we've taken with Windows Azure and just rolled out. One is, as I showed earlier, you can attach a drive to a virtual machine just by in the portal saying attach disk. And then when within your operating system, it'll just look like a regular storage device that's attached to your virtual machine, attached to your machine. What's nice about this, though, is it's not just a standard drive. We're not actually plugging in SCSI drives into your VM when you do that. Instead, we're actually backing that drive against something we call the Windows Azure Storage System. And the Azure Storage System is a pretty sophisticated piece of software and hardware. We basically run the storage system on custom hardware stamps that have lots and lots of disks. And when you mount a drive and attach it to a VM, what we do under the covers is we actually will store the data on three separate disks within that system. The big benefit there is it looks just like one disk, but we actually replicate your data in multiple places. The big benefit there is if for some reason a drive goes bad, a hardware device goes bad, we can automatically fail over to the other replicas, and your VM never knows that an issue occurred. And then we'll automatically hydrate a new replica on a different disk to make sure that we have a third backup lying around. The big benefit here is really reliable system that's always on. We also do a bunch of internal tricks on our storage system to make sure it's really fast and the performance is very consistent. So for example, we actually use SSD drives, in-memory SSD drives, for things like journaling and writing to make sure that you get very consistent write throughput, and then we back it with physical disks within the storage stamp. And the great thing is, your software never has to know. You just get great reliability, great predictability in terms of your performance, and you can take advantage of it with any software that reads and writes to the disk. Other nice benefit that we provide built in is the ability to automatically replicate your data, not just across three drives within a single data center, but also to other data centers that are at least 500 miles away. The big benefit here is you get kind of and we call this feature continuous storage geo-replication. Kind of rolls off the tongue. But the big benefit you get with this is it makes sure that if for some reason a complete data center was shut down or there was a catastrophic failure in a data center, you know that your data is at least 500 miles away and that you can spin it up in another data center. This is great for worrying about natural disasters and gives you the ability to kind of have continuous business recovery. You don't need to turn anything on in order to enable this. This is actually just a built-in feature. If you don't want us to ever replicate it, you can turn off this feature. And we never replicate the data outside of geographic units. So for example, if you're a US customer, your data will always stay in the US. If you're an EU-based customer, your data will always stay in the EU. So we always make sure we only replicate with data centers in the same region. And again, if you don't want this feature for some reason, you can always turn it off. But it's a nice built-in feature, lets you sleep well at night, knowing that you're running in a much more secure and safe environment. So that's a little bit about virtual machines. And again, the great thing about virtual machines is you can run any workload you want in them. And so you can take any existing .NET Server app that you have, run it inside virtual machines, and basically with no code changes, it will just work. And again, with the virtual private networking capability and the storage capability, it makes it really powerful and easy way, even for intranet style enterprise or corporate environments, provides a really easy way you can go ahead and start using that within your environment today. But we have a lot more features, and so I'm going to move on here now and talk about something else, which in particular for ASP.NET developers I think you'll really like, which is called websites. And this is another new feature that we introduced last month as part of our release. It makes it really easy to build ASP.NET apps and host them on the internet. It allows you to kind of deploy them in seconds. You can use FTP, you can use Git, you can also use TFS in order to do those types of deployments. And you'll see a little bit later on, we have a really nice way that you can just right-click and deploy directly inside Visual Studio or Web Matrix, and your app's live literally within seconds. And the other nice thing about this model is that we provide a free option so that you can do up to 10 websites at absolutely no cost. And then you can basically scale up as your traffic grows and add additional what we call reserved instance capacity that you can add on. And so it provides a really nice way where if you're building .NET apps on the server, you can easily get started at no cost and grow as you need to. So let's see some demos of this in action. So I'm going to go into our admin tool again. And you saw me earlier create a virtual machine. You saw me earlier create a private network. I'm going to go ahead now and create a website. And to do that, I'm just going to go ahead and hit New, click this Website tab, and I can quickly create a website. And so I'm just going to call this the ASP.conf demo with some numbers. Hit Create. And this is going to now stand up for me a new website in the East US data center region within Azure. One of the things you'll notice is it's really fast to create a website. So that actually finished deploying already. It takes about 6 to 10 seconds in order to stand up and create a new site. So this is the site now running. You'll notice there's no code deployed. So we're not seeing any traffic or any kind of data here. We're going to deploy that in just a second. But again, you get a very consistent view, just like you saw with virtual machines. And we're now ready to go ahead and deploy and do something with it. Now, I could deploy this in a couple different ways. I could wire up my TFS server so that every time I do a check-in, we automatically deploy it using Team Foundation Server, whether it's either running on-premise, or you can also wire it up using our new TFS service that's running in the cloud, where you don't even have to install anything in order to enable a full TFS continuous delivery style model. And as part of the TFS process, we can actually do the builds for you, as well as actually run your unit tests and only deploy if the unit test passes, an example, all in a completely automated way. We also support Git. So if you want to deploy using Git as a source control system, you can do that as well. I'll show a demo of that in a few minutes. Or lastly, you can just click this deploy download publish profile link. What this is going to do is download for me a little XML file that I'll save locally on my disk that I can then use to directly deploy within Visual Studio in a really easy way. And so we'll just use that for this first demo. So I'm going to go ahead and file new project. And within Visual Studio, I'm just going to create a new MVC4 app. This will work with MVC, it'll work with web forms, it works with web pages, it works with any type of ASP.NET solution. We'll just call this my ASP.conf demo. Pick any mobile template or any application template I want. I'm just going to pick the new internet application template that comes with MVC4. And this is deploying or creating the project inside Visual Studio for me to use. And so hopefully in just a few seconds, there we go. There's my application. Now to deploy this to Azure, what I can do inside Visual Studio 2012 is just right click and click this publish button. And this brings up a publishing dialog. I'm going to say import, and I'm going to select the XML file that we deployed earlier, and I'm just going to go ahead and hit publish. And what this is going to do now is this is going to connect to Azure. It'll go ahead and upload all of the app code content for that application. If there was a database, it could optionally upload the SQL database for that as well. And we're now live on the web. And so this literally was a website that I just created from scratch inside Azure, went into Visual Studio, created a new project, right-clicked, hit publish, and we're now live on the web and anyone can hit. If I want to make a change to it, deploying changes is really fast as well. So we can say ASP.conf is awesome. So one line change there. If I go ahead and republish by just right-clicking and hitting publish again, you'll notice that we support, in addition to a full publish option, what we call incremental publishing support. So in this case here, I just want to deploy one file. This makes subsequent deployments really fast because I just have to copy that one file up onto the server. And when I hit refresh now, that site again is live, and there's the change live on the web for anyone to hit. So really fast to deploy, really even faster to redeploy, and best of all, this is free. You get 10 free websites, so you can do it whatever you want with those 10 free websites, and they're just included not just for MSDN users, but for all users using the system. And so, great, easy way, go ahead and take advantage of that. Gets even better, though. So basically, if we go back into the portal now and hit refresh, you'll see a couple of different things inside the portal, one of which is, in a few seconds, you'll see some of our statistics show up. So as we start hitting the site, we'll start gathering automatic perfmon data as part of our system. And so we come back here and hit refresh. It's going to take a few more seconds for it to show up, but you'll start to see perfmon data percolate and show up in the diagnostics thing. And again, nice provides a nice way that you can go ahead and see how your site is performing, what type of load you're getting on it, and be able to manage that as well. While we're waiting for that data to show up, let me do one other thing. We'll create one more site and show off some of the other cool features that we have. So I'm going to create another site here. Hit create. And this is basically going to just create another site for us. Again, sites only take a few seconds to create. So we have another one created here. I can drill into this site just like I did before. I can deploy another ASP.NET project to this site. Rather than use Visual Studio and right-click publish, though, I'm going to enable source control, and specifically I'm going to use Git in order to deploy to it. So I'm just going to click the Setup Git Publishing link. This is going to create for me a Git repository. which will allow me to very easily push code changes from my local machine into Azure and use that as the publishing mechanism. So to take advantage of that, I'm just going to go ahead and open a little bash shell. I could say ASP.conf, create an ASP.conf directory. Now, I could just use Visual Studio in order to save a project with a solution file in here. And the nice thing about our Git support is you don't have to check in any binaries, so it'll just work with project and solution files inside VS. And when you push a change, we'll automatically do a build inside Azure of the code you upload and then actually deploy that live. Just to make it simple, though, I'm just going to use Razor and create a simple hello world in text just so you can see exactly what's going on. And just to prove, hey, this doesn't just work with MVC, it works with web forms, it works with web pages as well. And so I can say, hello, time is now. And let's use the cool Razor syntax to spit out the time, like so. And then initialize Git on this dev machine. I can add that file we just checked in. I can commit it. So we'll say initial check-in, like so. And then if I want to, I can go back to my Azure page here. And what Azure gives me is a Git deployment URL that I can publish to. And so all I need to do is set up what's called a Git remote as part of this. So I can say Git remote add Azure. So I'm just adding an alias that I can push to. And I can now just say Git push Azure master. This will ask me for my password. And once I enter it, this will go ahead and push the file changes up into Azure. What I should see in behind the screen, yep, the portal tool just picked up that we did a deployment of that application. I can hit the browse button in order to bring up the page, and you can see, hey, there's my app now deployed using Git, using ASP.NET Razor, live into Windows Azure. And you can say, hey, time is now, and we're spitting out the time. If I wanted to make a change to that, I can just go into that file again on my local machine. Let's just change it to be hello ASP.conf, like so. Check in another change. We'll call this second update. Then I can say git push Azure master in order to redeploy it. And like so. This will upload the changes into Azure. Notice in the background, the portal's already picked up the fact that there's a change and automatically rolled forward to the new change. And so if I go back here now and hit refresh, notice the change is now live. So that's how quick it is in order to deploy a site, make a change to it, see it automatically show up. And the great thing is, because this is integrated in source control, if I want to later roll back, I just click on the initial deployment and I can hit this redeploy button. Yes, and this will actually roll back my application to the previous version. And now notice when I hit refresh, we went back to that first deployment. And so it's really easy to roll forward, roll back, only takes seconds. I can use TFS for this, I can use Git for this, I can use any flavor of ASP.NET for this. And you get 10 free websites, and so you can run any workload you want as part of this solution. Pretty much run any ASP.NET app you want on top of Azure. So a really easy way to get started, a lot of power, a lot of flexibility, you'll see a little bit later on when I talk about all the other Azure features. There's a lot more goodness, but if you're an ASP.NET dev, this is really powerful and definitely something, if you haven't already tried, you should check out. A couple other things, go back to the dashboard view, and you'll see now, not only can I deploy things there? I can also go ahead now and see how much utilization I'm using on the system. So I can see how much CPU I'm using, how many requests I've made to the system. Looks like a few people out there are already hitting the site. And I can also see the bandwidth in and bandwidth out of the overall system. I can see, you saw the deployment tab earlier for deployments. I can click on the monitoring tab in order to see more detailed diagnostics about the health of my site. One of the nice things about this is also if you use system diagnostics inside .NET in order to create your own custom perfmon counters, so for example, like orders per second, we'll actually surface this automatically inside the Azure portal, so you can see orders per second directly surfaced inside there. You can also configure what version of .NET you use. You can map custom domain names to these sites. You can turn on web server logging as well as enable detailed error logging, and then get access to those logs through an FTP link that we surface through the portal. So it makes it really easy to get access to your raw HTTP logs. And then last but not least, you can scale your site to add additional capacity. So for example, right now we're running in the shared mode, which is free, and included, as I mentioned, you get 10 free shared websites. I can also click to reserved mode and decide I want to scale out this site across multiple VMs. Just pick the size of the VMs you want to deploy, the number of servers you want to deploy to, and then if I go ahead and hit save, this will automatically scale out my deployment across any number of those servers. And now all my traffic is running in isolated virtual machines, and I can have whatever capacity I need. And again, the beauty is you're only paying by the hour, so you can scale up or scale down capacity as you need it, and you're only paying for what you use, which makes it really cost effective in order to take advantage of. So that's a little bit about websites. A lot of power, a lot of flexibility you can use with them. I'm not going to show this last piece, but other than just give a quick demo, but you can also, if you want to, and you don't want to build a custom app, you can also go pick an app from the gallery. And we have an online web gallery that you can use of images that you can pick from. And included as part of that, we have popular apps like Embraco, Orchard, and even non-.NET apps like WordPress that you can pick from the gallery and use in order to go ahead and deploy. So it's another nice option to look at and consider. So that's a little bit about websites. Let's keep moving along. And actually, let me talk a little bit more about how websites work behind the covers. And again, this difference between the shared free model and this dedicated reserved instance model. And so again, as I mentioned, every Azure customer gets 10 free websites. When you deploy your sites, you're one of multiple users in a shared cluster. If you switch into reserved mode, like I showed there towards the end, again, we'll spin up a dedicated VM for you that only your applications run within. And you could have one instance of your app. You could scale it out to multiple instances of your app. And if you deploy multiple sites, you can also set it up so that you have multiple apps running across these VMs. But importantly, only your apps run in a reserved instance model. So you have full isolation from any other customer. Again, nice thing about this model is it's really easy to change dynamically. And the same deployment characteristics, that really lightning fast, only takes seconds to deploy, as well as the ability to use TFS and Git, are all included as part of the reserve model in addition to the shared model. And so again, it provides a lot of flexibility, a lot of things you could take advantage of built in. That's a little bit about websites. So we've looked at how you can use virtual machines, looked at how you can use websites. Last thing I want to talk about is a way to deploy apps today is another model that we support we call cloud services. And what cloud services do is it allows you to kind of build literally infinitely scalable apps and solutions. So you could literally have thousands or tens of thousands of cores of processing power that you throw at them. And it's also they're designed so that you can support not just single-tier website to a database style options, but you can also build multi-tier solutions where you have, say, ASP.NET on the front end, and maybe you're using WCF or maybe ASP.NET Web API in a middle tier that front end connects to, and then to a database. And so you can define any number of tiers and use them within the solution. And just like with VMs and websites, it provides a fully automated application management and a really nice developer as well as administration story. So let's walk through a little bit about how this works. So what I'm going to do is take that ASP.NET site that we built earlier inside Visual Studio, that ASP.conf demo that we directly deployed as a website inside Azure, and switch this website now to be what's called a multi-tier solution. So specifically, I want to make sure that I not only have a web front end, but I also want to have a back end middle tier that front end can work with. And to do that, I'm going to first convert this website to be what's called a cloud service project. And doing that's really easy. All I need to do is right click on the website and say add Windows Azure Cloud Service Project. This is then going to update my Visual Studio solution so that in addition to having my ASP.NET project, I also now have this ASP.conf demo.azure project, which has a number of what are called roles defined within them. And that roles folder basically maps to, you can think of as the logical tiers within my application. So right now I have my front end here. If I wanted to, I could right click and I could say add a worker role that I'm going to name background service, which I could use as a middle tier that I want my website to be able to talk to. And when I do this, it's just going to add into my project another project called Background Service. This Background Service, to begin with, just has a simple run statement, and this just has an infinite loop that goes to sleep every 10 seconds. So this is obviously placeholder code. But I could, if I wanted to, write any background job or any cron job or any kind of order processing logic I want to as part of this Background Service. And you'll notice inside my folder here now, I have both an ASP.conf demo as well as a Background Service node underneath my role subfolder. And what I can do is I can double click on either of these roles to change, for example, how many virtual machines I want to roll deploy them over. So by default, I'm just going to say 2 for the front end and let's say 2 on the back end. And if I rerun this project locally on my dev box now, instead of just using IIS Express standalone, it's instead going to now kickstart what we call the Windows Azure Debugging Emulator, which internally uses IIS Express for all the web hosting. But the nice thing about the debugging emulator is it allows me to simulate this multi-tier environment where I not only have a front-end and middle tier running on the same box, it also even allows me to simulate having multiple instances of the front-end and middle tier. So if you notice, I said I want to run 2 front-ends and 2 back-ends, back-end services. If I right-click and hey, show the compute emulator UI, when it brings up the emulator UI, you'll be able to see there are my 4 simulated VMs running on my developer machine, and I can actually drill in and see kind of what we call debug spew showing up inside there, which allows me to see kind of the emulated experience across all 4 of those machines. So again, it provides a really easy way for me to go ahead and simulate a multi-tier, multi-machine environment, and I can now build my application to have both a dedicated front end that's stateless, as a web role, and then I can have these background services running in the back end that I can do non-UI activities on. And when I'm ready to deploy the solution, just right-click and hit publish like before, and I can walk through this wizard in order to bundle up this multi-tier app and deploy it into Azure in order to run it in the cloud. Now, under the covers, when I do that, here's what's happening. Visual Studio, when you deploy a cloud service, we'll package it up effectively as a zip file. It's actually using a zip file format that contains all of the different tiers for my application and uploads it to Windows Azure. And what Windows Azure will do when it gets that application code is it'll look inside it and say, okay, you want to deploy this on 4 virtual machines, so it'll find 4 VMs within the cloud in order to run this application on, stand them up and provision them, so it'll install an OS, it'll install IIS if it's a web application, and deploy it in the data center, and then it'll take your application code and provision those virtual machines with it. And what's nice is you can not only deploy your ASP.NET app, you can also, as part of your application, provide what we call startup scripts. So if you want to configure the overall OS environment, you can also do that as part of a deployment. And the great thing is it's fully automated. So if you deploy this app 10 times, you'll get the exact same experience all 10 times. Last but not least, once we deploy your app, we'll wire up a network load balancer and firewall and open it up to the internet for anyone to go ahead and access and use. And again, it's fully automated, so you can do this inside Visual Studio to kick off the deployment, but you can also set it up so your TFS server, your build server, automatically drives this deployment as well. And again, because it's fully automated, every time you deploy, you should get the same experience. Other nice thing about this automated model is Windows Azure will automatically monitor the health of your application while it's running. And so if we detect, for example, one of your virtual machines is either having a hardware problem or a software problem, we'll automatically pull it out of the network rotation. We'll take that code that you uploaded earlier, spin up a new VM for that role that was having problems, and then add it back into the network rotation for you automatically. And the beauty here is you as a developer or as an administrator don't have to do anything in order to actually have that take effect. The system's fully automated, and so if it happens at 3 at night, you know, 3 a.m. in the morning, we'll automatically upgrade that instance for you and fix the problem without you having to get a phone call or having any availability problems. So it gives you a very robust model, very safe and secure model that you can go ahead and take advantage of. As an administrator or as a developer, you can now drill into also the health of the system by going into that same Windows Azure portal that we saw earlier. And so, for example, if I drill into a cloud service inside the admin tool, just like you saw with virtual machines, just like you saw with websites, I can also get a monitoring experience that will show me the health of this cloud service. So you can see here, I can see CPU and memory, for example. What's nice about this monitoring experience is it's aggregated across all the different copies of all the different VMs that you're running. So you can actually see this multi-tier solution in one view. I could drill in, for example, and add more custom monitoring hooks if I wanted to. We provide a bunch of metrics that you can use. And again, you'll notice here, zoom in, I can see either an aggregate view or I can also drill into per instance VM data as well. So I can see, again, the health of the overall solution or the health of any individual VM running within it. I can also, if I want to scale up or scale down the solution, I can do it on a per VM basis. So I could scale up my front ends. So let's say I want to have 40 virtual machines running my website, and I could scale up my back ends. Let's say I want to have 320 VMs running on the back end. All I have to do is hit save, and we'll now allocate 366 machines for your application. And in a matter of minutes, we'll basically deploy and scale it out across all those instances. And this ability to dynamically increase or decrease your size or be able to do it on an individual role basis ends up being really, really flexible and allows you to kind of dynamically shrink and grow your business as you need it. So for an event like ASPConf, you can spin up a whole bunch of instances. When it's over, spin them down. One of our customers is in the financial industry. It's called they're called Milliman. And they spin up to 10,000 VMs overnight to process financial data before the markets open. And then around 6 a.m., they spin them down and deliver the data to their customers. And then later on at night, after the market's closed, they reopen and spin up those VMs again and crunch more data. And the beauty is because they only pay for what they're using, they don't actually have to pay for keeping those virtual machines on all the time. So it's very cost effective, allows them to build a really scalable solution. And if I ever do need to debug a specific instance, you can just click it in the list, hit the connect button, just like you saw earlier with a virtual machine. You can remote desktop in, and you know, you're an admin on that VM, so you can do whatever you want within it. So that's a little bit about cloud services and the combination of having virtual machines that you can run any workload within, the ability to have websites that make it super fast to deploy code changes, and this ability to kind of build multi-tier solutions in a fully automated way, we think just provides a lot of power and flexibility and allows you to use .NET everywhere across those different solutions, and you can optimize the deployment and the scale factor for what your application actually needs. And best of all, you can use all three of those models together. So you could have a website using the website model, talk to a database inside a virtual machine, or have a cloud service talk to a database in a virtual machine, or a website talk to a cloud service. So they're all interchangeable, and you can build solutions that include all of them nicely together. One of the things hopefully you've seen over the last sort of 40 minutes is this kind of this focus that we have on enabling you as a developer to build apps faster and not have to worry as much about the underlying infrastructure that's actually running it. And we kind of call this model focus on the apps, not the infrastructure. And it ends up being kind of a really powerful way that you can be much more productive when you're building your applications and you can run your solutions on a much more reliable and scalable backend infrastructure that's really cost effective. And one of the things that we're doing to augment this is provide a lot of built-in building blocks within Windows Azure that you can call from any of those certain models I just discussed, whether it's a virtual machine, a website, or a cloud service. So for example, if you need a database, you can run it in a virtual machine, or we actually have a database service that you can talk to directly, which means you don't even have to worry about a virtual machine. Likewise, we're going to have big data capabilities so that you can do Hadoop jobs. We've got media services so you could stream events like this. We've got storage. We've got caching. We've got a whole bunch of great capabilities. And again, the beauty with all these things is they're really developer friendly, and they're designed that you don't, but they're also designed so that you as a developer don't actually have to stand up a bunch of infrastructure in order to take advantage of them. So let's see a couple examples of that in action. Other thing I should mention is that all of these services come with SDKs that are on GitHub. And so all of our SDKs, all the .NET SDKs we have for all these services are licensed under an Apache 2 open source license, and they're on GitHub. So you can also see the code for how you can connect and use any of these capabilities I'm about to walk through. So let's start with the first one here, which is SQL databases. So one of the features we have inside Azure is the ability to very quickly and easily create SQL databases that we manage as part of our managed infrastructure. It's a fully relational SQL database, so it's just like SQL Server on-premise. You can use ADO.NET, you can use Entity Framework, Link to SQL, or just ODBC to connect to it. You can also use the SQL Management Studio in order to actually manage these SQL databases using the tools you already have. What's nice about the database is they're clustered for high availability. So when you deploy a database on Windows Azure, we deploy it on three servers. So if one of the machines fails, we have two other copies that we can fail over to. So we give you a lot of robustness and reliability built into the price. And it's a fully managed service. So we do all the patching for you. We do backups. And you can just kind of depend on it and use it within your application in a really easy way. And best of all, it's really fast and easy to get started. So question I often ask people so let's say you're starting a new project. How long does it take for you if you decide you need a new SQL database? What does the approval process look like for you to get someone in your IT department to stand up, to buy a license, stand up a new server, and get it deployed for you to use? Chances are, for most developers, that takes a little while. And the beauty about Windows Azure, it's really fast. So I can go ahead and just say new SQL database, quick create, ASP.conf. I'm going to hit create and we'll count. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, 6-1000, 7-1000, done. 7 seconds. So basically in 7 seconds, we were able to stand up a new SQL database that we can use for this project, have it fully deployed across three servers for availability, and I can now go ahead and program against it. And so if I go in the admin tool and drill into it, I can see diagnostic information about this particular app. Here are the connection strings that you can use in order to connect. And if I ever want to scale this up, I just go ahead and hit the scale tab. I can choose, let's go to 150 gigabytes. If I hit save, this is going to go ahead and upgrade that database. There we go, 3 seconds. I now have a 150 gig database I can go ahead and use. So it's really, really fast to stand up these databases. They're backed across three servers, so they're clustered for high availability. And then best of all, I'm only paying for what I'm using. And so there's no upfront costs. I don't actually have to buy a SQL license in order to do what I just did. I can just literally create it. And if you go to the pricing tab on the Windows Azure website, you'll notice here, websites, I get 10 free ones. For SQL databases, I only pay for the database size. So if I want a 100 meg database, it's going to cost about $5 per month in order to actually use. Again, that's the clustered version. I don't have to buy a SQL license. I don't have to pay anything other than that $5. And then as my database size increases, I pay a little bit more depending on the database size. And again, backups are included. Clustering is included. That's all built into the price. And as you saw, it only takes a couple seconds in order to create and stand these things up. And I can now use all the standard tools I use and all the standard frameworks I already know with SQL Server in order to deploy and run it. Other examples of services here. Storage. Let's say you want to build an application where you want to store lots and lots of data. Let's say gigabytes, terabytes, maybe even petabytes of storage. We have a blob storage service that you can use. And just like a database, I can quickly create a blob storage account. And you can basically save any file you want inside that blob storage account. We basically make sure it's replicated across multiple servers. We'll even replicate it across data centers for you automatically. And then you can optionally either have it be private storage that only your app can use, or if you want to, you can mark a file or what's called a container to be public on the internet, and we'll give you back an HTTP URL you can use to hit it. So if you want to generate PDFs for customers, or you want to do streaming of media or some type of file, you can just store it in blob storage and then expose it to them directly. Provides a really easy way for you to go ahead and surface up large amounts of data. Some of our customers literally store petabytes of storage inside this system. And just like you saw with websites, cloud services, and VMs, we have the same creation experience inside the portal, and we provide full monitoring diagnostics so you can see how many requests you're getting to your storage account and how much usage you're using. We also provide services like a distributed cache that you can take advantage of within your applications. for a lot of ASP.NET developers, you're probably familiar with using the ASP.NET Cache API for either output caching or to save stuff inside an in-memory cache within ASP.NET. And obviously, you can continue to use that within Azure just using the same API you already know. What this distributed cache, though, gives you is a couple extra cool features. And specifically, what it allows you to do is instead of storing stuff just on the web server that the cache API in ASP.NET's on, it's distributed, which means that if I have multiple servers within my application, any of the servers can cache something, and whatever they cache can be used by all the other servers within that application as well. So that's why it's distributed. Any of the cache, it's a shared cache across multiple servers and multiple copies of the app. What's other nice about this thing is it can dynamically grow or shrink. So if you deploy your app across 100 servers, it will scale with it. If you drop it down to just one or two servers, the cache will dynamically shrink as part of it. And it also has high availability, so you don't have to worry about, let's say if a server goes down, we can automatically replicate the cache across multiple servers so you never actually lose it. And best of all, it's really easy to use, and even better, you don't even have to pay anything for it. It's actually just built into our VM pricing, and you can take advantage and deploy a cache basically for free within your solution. So let's see an example of how that works. So let me shut down this other application I had earlier and open up a project that I have called Twitter Reader. So this is a simple project that I built earlier. It does not currently have a cache. What this Twitter Reader application does, it's a cloud service and built with ASP.NET, built with ASP.NET MVC. And what it's doing is it's just connecting to Twitter, retrieving a bunch of tweets that have been sent to the Windows Azure Twitter account, and then just displaying them on a screen. So a pretty simple app. And just a second here, once the emulator starts up, you can see it here. If I just click on this, it's going off to Twitter, it's retrieving a bunch of tweets, and again, just displaying them on the screen. So you can see some tweets from the last couple of hours. And because it's going to Twitter, it's taking about 1.6 seconds in order to make that network request and pull back that set of tweets in order to display. And every time I hit refresh, it's going to go off to Twitter again. And so that time took 1.5 seconds. This time it takes 1.6. So there's going to be some variability. And ideally what I want to do is have it so that if lots of users are searching on the same term, I'm not having to, on each request, go out live to Twitter. I'd like to cache it. So if someone later searches on the same term, it basically pulls it back. So how do I do that? Well, I could stick it in the ASP.NET cache, those tweets. Now, the downside, though, is if I have multiple copies of my ASP.NET app, so let's say I'm running four web servers, I'm going to end up having four copies of that cache. What I instead want to do is use this distributed cache have it so that if any of the web servers caches it, all the other ones get access to that cache as well. It's really easy to enable. All I need to do is double-click on this Twitter Reader role within my project. You'll notice there's a caching tab now within the Azure tools, and I can just go ahead and click this Enable Caching checkbox. I'm just going to keep the defaults, which is to run the cache on the actual web servers. Hit save, and I now have a distributed cache enabled within my application. To use it, I can go back into my ASP.NET app. I'm going to use the NuGet package manager, and I'm going to say install the caching library as part of it. And I now have a .NET assembly that I can use in order to program against my cache. Then just going to go into my Twitter feeder controller, which is just an MVC controller. Right now, you'll notice the code is always going against Twitter. I'm going to change this code so that instead of always going against Twitter, I'm going to first check to see whether or not I have... I'm going to check to see whether or not I have the data cached inside the cache. And so this is some code using the cache API for .NET. Just create a data cache. I check to see whether or not there's an entry already for that particular tweet handle. If not, I go against Twitter, retrieve it, stick it in the cache. So that's all the code changes I need to make. And then last but not least, I'm just going to go ahead and in my web.config file, point this ASP.NET app to go against my cache server that I enabled, which is in the Twitter Reader role. I'm going to enable this local cache option, which will just make sure that I makes it even faster. Once I do that, I'm going to rerun my application. And so it is rerunning right now and redeploying the app. And we'll see in just a few seconds. The emulator is restarting with cache enabled now. And there we go. Hit refresh. This is going to go off and hit Twitter again. So this is the very first time it's running the cache. So it did take a few seconds. But notice on subsequent refreshes, I'm now able to retrieve the tweets in under half a millisecond. And that's because the data has been cached inside this distributed cache. I'm not having to go ahead and hit Twitter except every few minutes when the cache expires. And I now have a lightning fast application that I can go ahead and deploy and throw a lot of load at. And the beauty is because it's running in a distributed cache, it's going to be available on all of the servers within my application. So for example, in this particular option, we're running the cache in the actual web role, so in the same virtual machine that the web server's on. And I've configured it so I'm going to use roughly 300 megabytes per virtual machine that I want to allocate to the cache. When this app starts up, all of those different virtual machines will what's called ring join the cache so that I have a 1.2 gigabyte cache that I can store anything within. And any of these machines can pull data from the cache on all the other machines, and it's all going to be under half a millisecond in order to use. And again, the beauty about this is really easy to set up, and I don't have to pay anything extra. This is just included in the standard virtual machine price for a cloud service. So it's effectively free if I'm already running four virtual machines. What I can also optionally do if I want to is I could also set up separate background worker roles, like you saw me do earlier when I deployed a background service for that cloud service application a few minutes ago. And these can be dedicated to a cache. I could say use up to 24 gigs or 12 gigs per machine. And I can scale out that cache dynamically if I want to increase or decrease the size of the cache using the admin tool like you saw me do earlier. I just scale out the cache tier dynamically, and I can increase or shrink the cache as needed. And this ability to do both in a really cost-effective way, fully managed environment, again, makes it really easy to integrate distributed caching inside your apps and make your ASP.NET apps even faster. Last service I'm going to go talk about today, that's another cool capability you can take advantage of, is something we call the Service Bus. What the Service Bus gives you with Azure is a very secure way that you can do messaging and relay capabilities within your application. And this allows you to easily build what are called hybrid apps, where I might have code running across Azure and on-premise, or within another cloud environment. It also allows you to build loosely coupled solutions that are more robust to errors and ensure that if part of your app goes down or part of your app has an issue, your customers are never impacted and they never even know that there's actually an issue going on. So let's walk through a little bit about how this works and, again, some of the benefits that you get with it. So in a tightly coupled world, this is kind of the bad world, you often might have, say, your front-end ASP.NET app talking directly to a database or talking directly to, say, a shipping service or some type of back-end service that's doing something in a synchronous way within your solution. And this works, but what you'll find is if that back-end you're talking to ever goes down, you can often have what's called a cascading set of failures, such that your website's no longer able to call that service, and you end up surfacing to your customers, hey, we're not available or we're having a problem, please come again later. And the downside with that is you might lose business or it certainly is going to impact your customer experience. What you can do in a loosely coupled world, and the Service Bus is really useful for this, is create what's called a queue, which separates out your front-end ASP.NET website from, say, a background service that's processing something like orders. And now, instead of having your website talk directly to your back-end, you can instead just create what's called a message and stick it in a queue. You can then have the background service pull messages from the queue in order to process them go ahead and do something with them. And the benefit here is if your background service goes down, your front end can still stick messages inside that queue. Your users never know. They're still able to place orders like they always have. And as soon as your back end comes back online, you can start processing those orders and do things with them. And again, the beauty here is much more reliable solution. Your customer experience is never impacted. Other nice thing about this type of architecture is it allows you to really easily scale out your solution scale up or scale down your front-end and back-end dynamically based on the load that you need. So for example, I could have lots of front-ends pumping in lots of messages in the queue. I could then have another set of services pulling those messages from the queue. And I can dynamically check to see, is it my front-end or my back-end, which is actually needs more capacity. And I can scale up or scale down each of the tiers independently, like you saw me do earlier with the cloud services, in a really, really easy way. And that way you're only needing to increase capacity in the parts of the application that actually need it. And because you can increase and decrease capacity at will, and you're only paying for what you use, this also provides a really nice way that you're actually saving money and provides a really cost-effective way to do it. In addition to doing queues, we also have a nice capability built into Service Bus we call Relay. And what this does is this allows you to not only send messages, but also allows you to wire up SOA endpoints or services that you can securely connect to across the cloud. Where this is really useful is a question a lot of people ask me is, hey, I have a database or a mainframe or an existing app already running within my enterprise or within my firewall. But this Azure thing looks pretty cool. I'd love to take advantage of it, but I can't move my database in an easy way, whether it's because we've already paid for it or whether it's for regulatory reasons or I just don't quite feel comfortable moving my customer data yet to the cloud. You can use the Service Bus Relay in order to connect the two in a very easy way. And basically the way this works is you take your app that's running behind the firewall that might be talking to a database inside your network, and you can expose from it a WCF service as a SOA endpoint with just the operations you want to expose to the cloud. And you can take this app and you can very easily connect to what's called the Service Bus Relay, and I'll show some code of how to do this in just a minute. And then any of the applications, you can allow any application you want to connect to that SOA endpoint using a relay point that we establish for you inside Windows Azure. It's completely secure, so only the apps that you give an ACL to are allowed to actually connect to it. And what's nice about this is we'll maintain a persistent connection with your on-premise environment. And the benefit there is it means that when, say, your ASP.NET app running in the cloud tries to call that service, it's not having to set up a connection all the way to the back end. Instead, we maintain a persistent socket between those different tiers. And so it's much, much faster in order to connect. And then you can basically call any of the WCF endpoints that you want through that service. So let's see an example of this in action. So what I have here is, I'm going to open up a little project. And it is one that looks like this. And basically, it's going to be a console app that's going to run on my laptop here inside the studio. And what it basically is going to do is it's exposing a customer contract to the cloud. And it's using WCF in order to do that. And I basically have a get customers and a get customer by ID operation that I'm going to be exposing through it. And then I've just implemented it using Entity Framework. And so this is my very simple implementation of this. I'm going against a database you probably haven't heard of. It's called Northwind. And all I'm doing inside when you make a call is I just output to the command line that the method was called, and I just do the EF code in order to retrieve the data and send it back. So very, very simple service. And then here is the program.cs file, which is the command line console app that you can use to connect to it. And all it's doing here is I just add three lines of code in order to connect to the Service Bus running inside Azure and publish this customer service using that customer service contract to the cloud. And when I run this now, this app is starting up on my local laptop, and it's connected to my SQL Express database running on my machine, and it's now publishing that customer service contract to the cloud. And I can now go into a browser, and here is a Service Bus Relay website. It's called northwindmobile.cloudapp.net if you want to try to hit it directly, folks watching online. And if I click the Customers tab, within this website, this app now is tunneling through the Service Bus down onto my local laptop and retrieving the data directly from the laptop. And so you can see here as I'm browsing around the application, the app just looks, it's a mobile-based app built with MVC4, just looks like a regular mobile app that's hitting a local database. But in this case here, the thing on the left is running inside the cloud using a, Service Bus Relay endpoint. The database is running inside the firewall on the Microsoft network here in the studio on my laptop. And so it provides a really easy way for me now to take my ASP.NET apps, deploy them in the cloud, and then connect them back on-premise to an on-premise environment. And you can see a couple other people, it looks like, from the audience are already hitting this endpoint and hopefully seeing the data as well. So it really allows you to be very secure, only expose the data you want, and it provides a nice hybrid way that you can go ahead and connect both your customers outside the firewall with data and apps that you have inside of it. And for people watching online, I'm about to turn off my connection, at which point you're no longer going to be able to get the data. So it's not a crash, but rather we're just going to disable it. Actually, you know what? We'll let a few people play with that for a while, and I'll turn it off at the end of the talk. But you can hopefully see it's working. We're getting a lot of requests and a lot of load. And the beauty here is all my data is still running inside the firewall. I can interconnect with whatever apps I want to. I'm only publishing what I want to externally. You might wonder, how much does all this cost? Again, going back to the you only pay for what you use model, which is a really nice way of paying for stuff. If you go to the pricing tab on Azure and you click this full calculator, you can go to the service bus and you basically can pay by the message if you're using queuing. Or if you're using relay, you just specify the number of relay hours you want to connect to. And so let's say, for example, I want to have, there's about 750 hours in a month. So let's say I want to have roughly 10 servers running constantly, connecting back on premise. This is going to cost me $6 a month in order to maintain that connection. That's basically it, in order to keep the connection open. And you do pay bandwidth for any of the traffic going back and forth between the connection. But as you can see here, it's really cost effective. You don't have to open up any firewall rules in order to enable this. This just actually will just work. We support things like failover, load balancing, et cetera, is all built into the service bus. And again, provides a really easy way for you now to take your .NET apps running on premise, your .NET apps running in the cloud, and easily connect the two. And with things like ASP.NET, MVC4, as well as ASP.NET 4.5, the mobile capability that we're building into that, this service bus really is really nice if you want to just provide a mobile front end for cell phones or tablets in order to connect for line of business apps. Pretty sweet way you can integrate it. And you can see we're getting completely hammered now in traffic. Again, I'm only having to pay for what I use. So that's just a simple example of some of the types of services that we provide in Azure. There's a lot more services I didn't get a chance to talk to. They're all built using this pay-as-you-go model. They're all really easy to use provide a nice way you can go ahead and start with ASP.NET, deploy your apps using that website model for free, and then you just start adding cool features and capabilities to them, and you can build even the biggest applications out there and run them on top of Azure. Azure is now available in more than 89 countries and territories, so you can sign up using your own local currency. We have pricing in all these different languages and all these different currencies, and you can go ahead and sign up literally in a matter of minutes and deploy your first app in no time at all. And again, if you're an MSDN customer, as I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, you actually get built-in Azure hours for free as part of your MSDN account. So if you're an MSDN professional user, you can actually deploy a website, reserved instance website, basically for free, just using your standard MSDN professional account, a virtual machine for free, using your MSDN professional account. If you're an ultimate user, you can deploy multiple virtual machines for free and run them 24/7 throughout the month. So it's really good in order to use. You can use them not only for development, you can also even use these hours for production as well, deploy small apps using them in addition. So definitely something to take advantage of if you're an MSDN customer. And hopefully you've seen over the last sort of 75 minutes that we've been chatting, there's a lot to Windows Azure. Everything I've demoed here this morning is available for you to use today. So none of this is unreleased stuff. This is all released things that you can go ahead and use yourself. It's super flexible, it's super open, provides a really nice solid environment that you can build apps for. And you're gonna see over time how we're gonna make it richer and richer and richer. And in particular for ASP.NET developers and for .NET developers, you're gonna find Windows Azure a really nice way that you can go ahead and build great solutions, both for external customers as well as internal customers within your enterprises. Use all the great .NET skills that you have and be even more productive than ever before. And so, really excited to see what you build with it. Really want to thank everyone for attending today's ASP Conf, and best of luck. Thanks a bunch.